The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
See you in the 06010.
Tuesday, Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. What do we call ourselves? Dynamic? What kind of duo would you describe us as? Okay?
Sure.
Pedestrian?
Colleagues?
What's the opposite of dynamic? Colleagues? Contractually
right.
Obligated?
Right. Contractually obligated colleagues.
Have to be here?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Forced together.
We're no Starsky and Hutch.
I don't know what we are. That's a great question.
Yeah.
But hey, Thirsty Kyle, put that on Twitter. Let's see what people at Fantasy Focus come up with. What kind of duo we are,
or even like a nickname?
I don't know. We're definitely not a dynamic duo.
Father son duo.
Father son duo. We're going to get a lot of that.
Think of something besides father son duo. Anyways, it's Matthew and I hanging out with you today. Reminder: we have a show tonight in New York. So tomorrow morning, you're not going to see us doing our live stream. You'll have instead the audio version of the New York show. A reminder: of course, you're finding us every single day on Twitter. On ESPN's Fantasy Facebook page. Yep. We've also got us on the ESPN app through the Watch tab.
That's correct. And our YouTube page, ESPN's YouTube page.
Yep.
Honestly, if you don't see us live, you're just not trying.
Right, right, right. If you don't see us live, then that shame is on you.
Yeah, then you're actively avoiding us, which, by the way, I get.
Right, not
I
the understand first person it. That's done that.
No, not at all. I think there's a large group that does. They're probably on Reddit. Anyway, you can
I'm not big into the Reddit. As a matter of fact, full transparency.
Yes, sir.
Never used Reddit before. I don't know how it works. I know there are people that like. It's like a subculture of the internet.
It's a complete subculture of the internet.
I will take tutelage in Reddit. I'm open to that. That I want to learn three things in my life.
Yes, sir.
How to use Reddit?
Okay.
I want to become a master of Excel because a lot of the stuff that we do involves Excel spreadsheets and I stink at them.
Yep.
And I cannot tie a bow tie. I am borderline ashamed.
Whoa. So first off, the first two I get, because I'm certainly,
you'd agree the utility of them is useful.
100%. So I have clicked around on Reddit, but I'm certainly no expert on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? When I did my book tour, I did an AMA for them, you know, and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I've clicked around on Reddit, and every once in a while somebody will send me a thread. You know, it's sort of interesting. I tend not to spend a ton of time there because it's super negative.
Right. It's usually like, yeah, feels terrible.
Yes.
That's the thread.
And there's definitely a group of people on Reddit that truly hate me in like a significant way. And,
what are they watching us on?
I don't know. All I know is for people that hate me, they certainly disgust me quite a bit. They, like every time I write a column, there's like hundreds and hundreds of comments about how much they don't like me. It's very funny because like I'll read them every once in a while and like it'll be like every Reddit thread is about me at least is the same, which is people argue about how terrible I am and blah, 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 blah. And then there's other people that's like, then why don't you read it? Don't read him. Don't bother. There's hundreds of other fantasy analysts out there.
The internet makes no sense to me. I should stay away from that.
So Reddit gets very negative, but there's also fun stuff that bobbles up. So it's, you know, like anything, there's a love-hate relationship there. But and Excel, I have no thing. But the idea that you, Field Minister Yates, son of Nantucket, don't know how to tie a bow tie is shocking to me. That is an upset.
Yeah.
In that, like I would have bet all sorts of money that if there was one person on the staff that knew how to tie a bow tie, it was you.
It honestly, like, it's a point, like, it makes me, like, I sort of quiver, I sort of shudder to think that I can't tie a bow tie.
Yeah.
So, listen, the problem is that pre-tied bow ties in a lot of cases, Matthew,
yes,
look pretty poor. Like, they just,
100%.
They wilt like a flower. They fall directionally the wrong way. So I did, for the wedding, what I did was I actually have a friend who makes these beautiful bow ties and she actually pre-ties them in a way that makes it look like they've got, I said they had like posture and integrity, right?
Right.
So I had to do that. So the bow tie in the wedding pictures looks great. Everything else, every other bow tie I've ever tied looks like crap.
Listen, you look great at your wedding.
Thank you.
I mean, people have seen the photos. Like, you know, I was.
We got full wedding album on Sunday, by the way. What day is today? Tuesday?
Oh.
I'll send you some extra pictures. There's some good ones of you. You guys, that'll be good for you, Reddit. You'll love some of the pictures of Matthew Berry.
My goodness. Yeah. So anyway, we'll find out what's going on. So all right, so a threadbare crew today, as everyone is in New York City for the show tonight. So it's
Including me and you.
No secret squirrel behind the glass.
Right.
We have upgraded there.
There was a big concert last night. He had to see. Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
In New York, yes.
A crappy band that no one's ever heard of. Yep. So that was in New York. So he's there in New York. But the lovely Tarika is behind the glass.
He's
Hi,
also-
Tarika.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Tarika? And it is also, it's a Colts day today on Double Trouble. Tarika, our resident Colts fan.
100%.
Andrew Luck Truther has very important health updates.
Believe me. Now, I'm being nice to Tarika now because we're about ready to get into the Colts. But yes, anyway, Tarika, I believe, I think it's also your Instagram, but I know you're on Twitter at She Knows Sports, right?
Yes, She Knows Sports _.
Be no nice, underscore.
Guys. Be nice, guys. My birthday was Saturday, so you guys got to be nice.
Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday to Tarika, part of the Fantasy Focus family. So give her a follow on the Twitter there, at She Knows Sports, because I have to tell you, she really does.
Extra, extra.
Close enough.
News or noise.
Oh, that's right. We are doing news or noise.
I was on it today.
You were right. I was wrong. Nice job, Tarika.
I was going to say, if for those of you that followed her, you can unfollow her after the incorrect incorrect drop.
She's right. We're doing news or noise.
So let's get to a little bit of news or noise then, Matthew. Last night we did have one preseason game. Stefania is not recognizing that game because Jimmy Garoppolo looked like hot garbage. But Emmanuel Sanders looked pretty good. Emmanuel Sanders, 32 years old, tore his Achilles in December. 8 months later. 8 months, the guy was back on the field. And one of the first plays of last night, the Denver runs, is an end around with Emmanuel Sanders, who jogs for, sprints for 19 yards. Pretty darn impressive here, Matthew. News or noise that that Emmanuel Sanders looked as sharp as he did?
I think this is absolutely news.
Yeah.
You know, so I mentioned him, if you read my love hate, where in the others receiving votes, I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago, that just saying, like, look, I don't know if you're following him on Instagram, but he actually looks great. Here's a guy
Everybody looks great on Instagram.
What?
Everybody looks great on Instagram.
Not
true.
Have you seen my beignet photo?
That's true.
Fair. I mean, listen, I'm hit or miss. I'm hit or miss on the gram at Matthew Berry TMR. But, but I said, like, basically he's been looking good on social media, and I think people forget that this is a very talented wide receiver. And in fact, last night what I wrote was, off of somebody, I think the NFL on ESPN Twitter account tweeted a photo of him, or video, sorry, of him doing that end around. And I retweeted and I just said, here's a guy that's always been sort of a top 20-ish wide receiver, going currently as wide receiver 37 on ESPN.com. Last year, Emmanuel Sanders got hurt in week 13. Weeks 1 through 12 last year, Emmanuel Sanders was wide receiver 11, I believe. Is that correct, Thirsty Kyle? 12. Wide receiver 12. He was wide receiver 12. Sorry, he got hurt in week 11. I'm sorry, he got hurt in week 13. He was wide receiver 12 through the first 11 weeks. Wait, I'm screwing this all up. He got hurt in week 13. Weeks 1 through 12, he was wide receiver 12.
Okay? Well done right there.
Okay. And anyway, but among the people he was ahead of at that point through the first 12 weeks of the season last year, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Keenan Allen, you've heard of them.
Sure, absolutely. No question.
And so here's a guy, and people are like, Joe Flacco. Yeah, okay, but you know what? Joe Flacco is a professional quarterback. Like, do you think Joe Flacco is a significant downgrade from Case Keenum?
No, definitely not. It's not a significant upgrade, which is the part that I'm not buying, because the Broncos seem to be selling me that one.
Yeah, fair. I'm with you on that. But I just think Emmanuel Sanders, again, wide receiver 37. Like, he's an absolute, like, I'm no Stefania Bell, but he looked fully healthy to me, and a fully healthy Emmanuel Sanders is a lot better than wide receiver 37.
Completely agree on that. It's definitely a bargain right now. It's a good story. Just like respect to a guy who at 31 years old, when this injury was suffered, probably could have said, you know something, woe is me. I've had a great career, made a lot of money. If I don't get back in 12 months, no harm, no foul. Instead, he's back in 8 months and looking to be a very big part of that Denver passing offense.
From an Achilles injury as well, which is amazing. I mean, I get a hangnail. I missed the podcast for a week, and yet... So anyway, kudos to Emmanuel Sanders. What's next?
We News have a couple or other- noise. DJ Shark, their second round pick last year. Shark or Chark? We'll figure that one out at some point. I think it's Shark still. Wasn't it Shark Week recently? Anyways.
Yes.
Spell with a C. Sounds like an S. Yep. He is the most impressive wide receiver in Jaguars camp, according to Mike DiRocco. We did a piece a couple days ago. Actually, it was yesterday. ESPN's NFL Nation voting for the training camp MVPs. he was one of the players, I believe, mentioned, right? Or at least just mentioned as the most impressive wide receiver by Mike DiRocco. Matthew, not D.D. Westbrook, not Marquise Lee, obviously recently activated from PUP, not any of the other players on this offense, right? News or noise? DJ Chark.
I think it's a little bit of noise, but with an eyebrow raised. Hmm. So, and what I mean by that is like, look, he's somebody they drafted high. Where did they draft DJ Chark last year? I was going to say second or third. So, you know, he was somebody they went after last year. And look, Marquise Lee has been good when he's been out there, but he's been, you know, inconsistent, obviously, because of the health. We like D.D. Westbrook. I like D.D. Westbrook. He's one of my sleepers here. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, certainly, you know, a second-year wide receiver. Having said that, didn't really make much of an impact last year. I don't know how good Nick Foles is going to be. We think he's going to be decent, but I don't know that he's going to be
an upgrade on Blake Bortles. Yeah, for sure.
He should be. But for me, at the moment, like, I have D.D. Westbrook reasonably high, and I didn't rank D.J. Chark. I will rank D.J. Chark in my next update, but I don't know that I'm, like, but in the, like, 60s.
Yeah, I'll go with noise here just because, to your point, first of all, you like D.D. Westbrook the most. Marquise Lee, pretty reliable player when he's healthy, and he's now off the PUP list. Plus, like, this is going to be one of the run-heaviest offenses in football if it operates how it is supposed to operate. The problem is, if it's not operating well, it means that they are in major, major trouble, and it was what it was last year. Noise to me on DJ Chark, although it's a good note, but, like, for fantasy purposes, it remains noise. One more here is Darius Geis, who, according to Jay Gruden, will play on Thursday. Notably, the third preseason game is when teams play their best players for the longest stretch of time. Remember last week we talked about, I think you were gone this day, Matthew. Yep. We talked about the fact that he had not yet been cleared for game action. Seems like he is at least about to be cleared when they play in two more nights from right now. News or noise on Darius Geis?
I think this is a little bit of news, and I'll tell you why. Again, to your point, like, as of very recently, they were like, he's not cleared for game action. And they were like, oh, you know, he tore the ACL and he's had some setbacks. And obviously there are a lot of questions surrounding the Washington Redskins medical staff, right? I mean, in terms of Trent Williams has called them out. Like, we've talked about this. Colt McCoy, you know, he's, you know, had a bunch of setbacks as well. The Redskins have led the NFL in players placed on injured reserve each of the last two seasons.
Not the kind of stat you want to lead in.
No, it isn't. I mean, yeah. And I think you gave the, is it like 54 players?
I think it's like, 54, 56, somewhere between 52 and 56 is what I would say.
Over 50. It's something insane. And so the fact that Darius Geis, who tore his ACL in a preseason game last year and who is an important part of what they want to do this year.
Yep.
And so, because they think, I will tell you internally, the Redskins think they've got a pretty good defense this year.
They do, yeah.
I mean, like, certainly on paper they do, and, you know, they sign
linebackers, the one question. Besides that, they look
right.
They look pretty good right now.
That's right. You know, and obviously they sign Landon Collins. You know, they're hoping for big things from Montez Sweat, who they traded up in the second round to get. So they think they've got a pretty good defense. They know they have inconsistent quarterback play. So what I believe the Redskins want to do this year is they're going to play defense and they're going to run the crap out of the ball and try to win games 16-13. And so my point here, Field, is that to put Darius Geis into a preseason game, into the third preseason game, which is sort of the dress rehearsal, which is ideally our starting lineup, I think is pretty interesting. I think this is news that if you were drafting sometime between now and Thursday, and obviously we'll have more to react to once we see him on the field. But if you were drafting between now and Thursday, this news, I think, gives you at least a little bit more confidence in taking a flyer on Geis.
Yeah, he was one of the players, and there are others that are coming off of an injury, that you wanted to see it, to believe it more. And if we get to see him on Thursday, that's a good sign. He was a preseason star last year. Time now for some Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double
Trouble.
Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double
Trouble.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Keep those suggestions coming for good names of
that
duos.
That's pretty good.
Not bad right here. Fire and Ice.
Or Spicy and Bald.
Spicy and Bald also works. Yeah. But like, is there?
That's pretty good.
What's the antithesis of, I guess, sweet and spicy, but are you sweet?
No, yeah. Obviously not. You're sweet, obviously. You're
but
kind.
But spicy.
You're also spicy.
Right. So I can't be spicy and sweet.
Sweet, spicy, and what
else
comes?
Like, for all we know, there's like two Doritos flavors that accurately describe each one of us.
Right. That's right. Like, I'm probably like Cool Ranch.
Right. Yeah.
Or cool. Something.
Oh,
like,
not bad, actually. Yeah. Nacho cheesy. You're pretty cheesy.
Yeah, right. There you go. Nacho cheesy. Yep. I'm definitely cheesy.
Let's get right into the Indianapolis Colts, and we begin with a player. I don't think anybody has been discussed more this preseason other than Antonio Brown on this podcast and Andrew Luck, who as of right now has still not practiced. It's been 4 months of a lingering issue that first was described as a calf issue. It's now known that it's also involving his ankle. Matthew, as the Colts recently suggested or said, if they're looking to have a quarterback picked out for week one sometime around just after this third preseason game. As of right now, Andrew Luck, how far has he slid down your quarterback rankings given the uncertainty surrounding his availability for week one?
Significantly. I have him at QB 11. Mm-hmm. And at one point earlier in this preseason, I'm at QB 3.
Right, and he's going as QB 7 right now in terms of ADP.
Right. So first off, I'll just talk about sort of my process here, which is, like, we know what kind of talent he has, but then you start getting into hadn't practiced, I think the stat you tweeted this out, which was something like at Field Yates, he's practiced 3 days since April.
Three times in 4 months.
And then there's like, oh, he's coming back. And then it was just like, well, you know what? He's not going to play in the preseason. And then it was like, he's questionable for week one. And then it's like, you know, like Mort tweeted, I think like 2 days ago, something like
there's cautious optimism. Yeah.
Cautious optimism that he'll play in week one. Like really that's where we're at Andrew Luck is cautious optimism
that
he plays in week one. And so this just feels really familiar to 2 years ago when we would get no information out of Indianapolis and it was just like, oh, he's coming back. Up, he's out for the year.
Right. No, it's a huge, huge question mark. And by the way, during tonight's New York live show, Stefania sent me a message saying she will likely have some context to add to the Andrew Luck situation. So perhaps we can get some clarity there. But for now,
and you'll be able to hear that tomorrow if you're not able to join us in New York tonight.
But now you're drafting the uncertainty of Andrew Luck, not just missing one game, but like, we don't even know if one game is the limit. It's not like they've said like, hey, he's questionable for week one, but we feel great about week two. It's, hey, he's questionable for week one as in like, we don't know when this season he will return.
Correct. And you don't know, I mean, you think about last year, right? The first couple of games, it was all dink and dunk and he was terrible. And then he turned into Andrew Luck again and you were fine. But so there may be a month here, even if he's playing, where you don't actually want to use him in your fantasy lineup. And the pro Andrew Luck argument is very simple. He's awesome when healthy.
Yep.
You know, it's a great offense with a lot of players, a great offensive line, fantasy friendly system. And by the way, the position is so deep that if you have to wait a few weeks, or even if Andrew Luck, if it doesn't work out with Andrew Luck, you can pick somebody off the waiver wire because, again, the position is so deep. I mean, Philip Rivers is going as QB 18, right? Jameis Winston, who I love, I have him as QB 13, but Jameis Winston's going as QB 19. Kirk Cousins is QB 20 in our ADP. So you can get a quality quarterback. That's the argument for him. The argument for me as to why I have him lower, I have him at QB 11, is you look at our ADP. And Andrew Luck has dropped over 13 spots just in the last 7 days and keeps dropping. Because, again, he was going as QB 3 not that long ago. But he's currently going as QB 8. And he's going in the same round as Drew Brees and Cam Newton. He's going ahead of Carson Wentz.
Ridiculous.
He's going ahead of Brady, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Ben Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, who's the ninth best quarterback in fantasy. Like, all those guys feel safer to me than Andrew Luck at this point, even Kyler Murray. I have Kyler Murray one spot ahead of Andrew Luck, and you're like, you're sort of crazy. And I'm just like, at this point, like, again, same sort of argument that I would rather take a flyer on Kyler Murray, and if it doesn't work out, there's somebody I can grab, than Andrew Luck, because I feel pretty confident Kyler Murray's playing all 16 games this year. And if it works for Kyler Murray, and I know people are worried about last preseason game, Kyler Murray has top three quarterback potential. Like, that's within the, I mean, like, so does Andrew Luck, obviously, but
sure.
I don't know. I you know, it just,
he's
it
not
just,
undraftable, certainly it, by no stretch are we saying that, but if you're drafting him, you better have a second quarterback on the roster because you have no idea if you're going to be ready for him in week one.
It just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
This just doesn't feel right. And I think that's probably not a fantasy term, the heebie-jeebies.
No, it is. I've looked it up. Yes, I've consulted it previously.
But I'm just going to turn to Tarika really quick here. Tarika, how are you feeling about Andrew Luck? You follow the Colts. You love the Colts. I can't remember a day when I didn't see you in Colts gear. Today you're in Star Wars gear, but generally speaking, you are usually in Colts gear around the office. How are you feeling about Andrew Luck?
I feel like I'm having a bad case of deja vu here, guys.
Right.
Very bad case of deja vu. So if I'm optimistically, cautiously optimistic, then sure, everyone else should be too.
Right, but it does.
That was not convincing at all, Tarika. No. Thank you.
That felt like Tarika's trying to talk herself into it. Right. Like, and I think that's what you have to do with Andrew Luck at the moment, is you have to sort of talk yourself into it, because it does feel in terms of the way the news keeps coming out and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, it does feel eerily similar to 2 years ago.
Last thing I'll say here is that, yes, we recognize that if Andrew Luck is ready for week one and you end up selecting him in the 13th round because of the way he's falling, he could be the absolute steal of your draft. As of right now, based off of the information that we have, there are other quarterbacks who could also have a monster finish this year. Ben Roethlisberger could be a top six quarterback you might get in the 12th round. So if Andrew Luck is week one ready, gets drafted late, then we recognize the value there. Just for now, you have to plan accordingly.
Hey, Thirsty Kyle, throw up a Twitter poll here, again, at Fantasy Focus. Who are you more comfortable drafting this year? Todd Gurley or Andrew Luck?
Oh, interesting question.
Right? Who do you feel more confident about getting? Or maybe phrase it this way. Who do you feel more confident about playing 16 games? Todd Gurley or Andrew Luck?
I bet that one will end up with, we'll see.
Right?
We shall see.
Which way you want to phrase it? Who are you more comfortable drafting, or who are you more comfortable?
Who are you more comfortable drafting?
All right, there you
go. Because people might be able to, again, if they take Andrew Luck, it's like, I can draft him because there's so much depth. If you take Todd Gurley, it's like, well, if you miss that, you're in trouble at running back. Let's move to T.Y. Hilton.
But you have Luck at QB8. You feel the same way?
Yeah, but he's been sliding precipitously. Sure. So if we get past his third preseason game, then he's going to go from 8 to at least double digits. T.Y. Hilton, the number one pass catcher in this offense. I've got him at wide receiver 17. You've got him at wide receiver 13. His current ADP is wide receiver 12, which is comparable to guys like Amari Cooper and Adam Thielen. Now, when T.Y. Hilton played last year, that was 14 games. He controlled 23.6% of the targets for the Colts. That's the kind of guy that's targeted like a number one wide receiver, because he is that. But I think the question mark here is two things. One, volume. Two, the Andrew Luck factor. How much has the Andrew Luck injury impacted your view of T.Y. Hilton so far?
A little bit. Like, I mean, I think I had him at wide receiver 11, 10 or 11 when
one or two spots.
And now I've dropped him down to wide receiver 13. I guess for me, understand there's a consistency there. Like, week to week, there's not as much consistency because he's, you know, occasionally big play dependent. But here's the entire list of players that have at least 65 receptions, 1,000 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns in at least 5 of the past 6 seasons. Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton. That's the list, right?
Sure,
so, I mean, Hilton, 5 of the last 6 seasons, Brown in all 6. And so, in his career without Andrew Luck, like, with Andrew Luck, he scores 1.84 fantasy points per target. Without Andrew Luck, 1.37 fantasy points per target. Not surprisingly, he is worse without Andrew Luck. But he's still a viable fantasy wide receiver. I mean, and the other thing is that I believe, and we talked about this the other day, that among backups in the NFL, Jacoby Brissett is one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Obviously, it's a downgrade from Andrew Luck, but it's not one of those things where you're just like, oh boy. Uh-oh, here comes Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or whatever.
Like, the Colts certainly feel pretty good about it. Yes. Frank Reich recently called him a top 20 quarterback in this league. So the value of T.Y. Hilton should not plummet like it did, or, you know, 2 years ago in 2017 when Andrew Luck was not there. And everybody's stats look different there in Indianapolis. And if Andrew Luck was healthy for all 16 games, again, we'd have him as like a top 12 wide receiver, maybe even top 10 wide receiver based off the upside.
Now, why do you you have him at 17 and you have Luck at QB 8?
So yeah, so I think there's maybe a little bit of a disconnect there. I'm more likely to move Luck down sooner than moving T.Y. Hilton back up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I'm surprised you're lower on Hilton that way. I guess my argument would be is that when you have a backup quarterback like Brissett, that he's actually going to be less able to spread the field and get more people involved. Like, I feel better about superstars that you know the offense is going to run through than I do about some of the perimeter. Paris Campbell is a sleeper to me with Andrew Luck playing all 16 games.
Sure.
If Jacoby Brissett is, I'm just like, probably not.
You know what was your stat? How many catches was it for 5 of the Packs past 6 seasons?
65.
Yeah, that's not a huge number. 65, right? Like, T.Y. Hilton's never been the guy that, you know, pushed for 100 catches in a season.
Oh,
or
sure,
rarely.
No. No, he needs to score touchdowns. He needs big plays for his fantasy value.
That's why he's dropped vis-a-vis guys like Amari Cooper or Adam Thielen, especially Thielen, who's we've already seen the monster volume seasons from in recent years.
But to be clear on that, that's that was part of a larger stat. It's kind of a parlay stat, right? Which is at least 65 receptions, at least 1,000 touched receiving yards, at least 5 touchdowns in at least 5 of the last 6 seasons. So it's a fairly high bar to sort of clear. And we're just saying, you know, that there's that he's getting at least 65, at least 1,000 yards, at least 5 touchdowns, 5 of the last 6 seasons. That there's a floor there with T.Y. Hilton.
So let's get to the other pass catchers amongst wide receivers for the Colts this season, because I don't know that necessarily there's a clear-cut number 2 asset in fantasy football, Matthew, because it's sort of what happened.
I'm sorry, just Thirsty Cow threw this up on the screen. Bryce suggests from Twitter before and after.
Not bad, right?
That's
there.
That's pretty good. That's
before
also
and after.
Before
I
and after.
It. Before
That's
and after.
Pretty good.
Before That's children, after children,
children,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Your
yeah,
four
exactly.
kids.
Before middle age, after middle age. Yeah, yeah, I mean, just before and after is pretty good as a duo. That's a pretty good one, Bryce. Nice job.
Devin Funchess, Paris Campbell, Deion Kane, amongst the names people need to know for these wide receivers, Matthew. I don't think we're talking about 3 wide receivers being weekly staples in Indianapolis this year. But what I do think is there's a chance for another one. Which one of these players do you like best based off of value, based off of ability, and based off of potential draft investment?
I mean, I don't have any of them particularly high.
Right.
So, I mean, I have Funchess at wide receiver 53, Paris Campbell at wide receiver 56. So, per my ranks, it'd be Devin Funchess. And it's literally that just because of A, Campbell's a rookie, and B, Funchess, I think, has more touchdown potential. He is a, you know, he's like 6'5", right?
Sure.
And he's somebody that the Colts and Chris Ballard, who I think you and I both have a tremendous amount of respect for, went out and signed to a $10 million deal.
A surprising $10 million deal.
A surprising $10 million deal. And again, none of us think Chris Ballard's a dummy. We just the opposite.
Correct.
So I think the fact that they went out and signed him for that kind of money tells me that whether we agree or not, they see something in him, that Chris Ballard sees something in him. So again, you've got some other big guys there, and we'll get into the tight ends. This is a team that is one of the top 8 teams in the NFL in terms of two tight end sets that they run. But Funchess to me is more of a guy than Paris Campbell, at least initially. Although obviously in a keeper league, I think Paris Campbell's really talented.
I think I would just roll the dice with Paris Campbell here and chase the upside. I know that I have Devin Funchess ranked higher than Paris Campbell, so like less risk involved, but still. Yep. Devin Funchess was in the doghouse at the end of last season.
Yes.
He couldn't find the field for Carolina. And I get it. They had 2 good young wide receivers, but this was a player that they had put a lot of time and work into to transition from a college tight end to a pro wide receiver in a contract year. It was a disappointing season for Devin Funchess.
100%.
He and Kelvin Benjamin both had chances last year in contract years to really earn their keep. Different teams, obviously. At one point they were teammates, but still, neither one of them did, which is why I'm rolling the dice on Paris Campbell. Will be interesting to see how they use him. For those who watched Ohio State, they recall Paris Campbell being used all over the formation. He plenty of speed, guy that would get, you know, jet sweeps, end arounds, you name it. In the NFL, we'll see just how they utilize him in that indie offense, regardless of who is playing quarterback for
Campbell's
them.
Second most yards after the catch among all wide receivers in college last season, 8.9 yards after the catch per reception. So to your point, get him in space, all sorts of speed. I think I would agree with you that Paris Campbell's probably the better wide receiver, I guess, but again, Devin Funchess could like just find his way into 6 or 7 touchdowns and wind up with more fantasy points. It's worth noting that last season, Andrew Luck 2nd in the NFL in terms of red zone passing touchdowns. Again, Devin Funchess, 6'5", you can't teach that.
It was a very good year for that Indy offense last year, so there's plenty of opportunities at the very least. If Andrew Luck is healthy, we keep saying that.
Right. That's
I
was just going to mention, I just think this is an interesting deep league flyer, especially more for Dynasty, but Deion Kane.
They love him, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
go ahead.
Been hurt, missed all of last year with the ACL tear, and they also like a lot of other guys right now, too,
right?
Paris Campbell, obviously T.Y. Hilton's well-established there. As you mentioned, they paid Devin Funchess for a reason. So a lot of things would need to break right, or in Indy's case, break wrong, for Deion Kane to be in the mix for them in a prominent role this season.
But I just remember, like, coming out of Clemson, kid can play.
Sure, absolutely.
Kid can play, and he's lighting up
Clemson
preseason.
Wide receivers already always catches your eyes. All right, we're going to talk about the running backs, but first, tell you about ADT. Fantasy Focus Football is presented by the ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners? You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you. You get 18 15,000 employees safeguarding you with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider, and you can get a smart, you can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You can get a professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You get a system custom designed to fit your home, and you can get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Clearly the best way to stay safe. ADT, good friends of ours here at the podcast, support them as well. Indy's backfield last year featured a lot of names going into the season. By the end of the year, two guys had emerged as pretty much the clear-cut workhorses, but none more so than Marlon Mack, who played 12 games last season, had 908 rushing yards, had 10 touchdowns, finished as RB21 overall. Matthew, that's where I have him ranked, RB21. You got him at RB19. His ADP is running back 18. This was a player that I had my doubts about carrying a heavy load going into last season, and he proved me wrong. He carried a heavy load for Indy.
Yeah, but he still got a little bit banged up, and he was banged up in his rookie year as well.
Yep.
Look, here are the positives about Marlon Mack. It is a great offensive line in Indianapolis. And again, assuming Andrew Luck plays, even if Jacoby Brissett plays, like, it's going to be a productive offense, right? So there's a guy that gained 5 or more yards on 39% of his carries last year. That was the 8th highest rate among qualified running backs. And in fact, since the beginning of last season, he ranks 9th in terms of percentage of touches that come in the red zone. So he's a guy that when they get close to scoring, they give him the ball. The concerns here on Marlon Mack is he doesn't catch much ball. He doesn't catch a lot of balls. He's not really
Correct.
Used in the receiving game.
Yep.
Right. And so, and they have a lot of different ways to score, as we've talked about. We just talked about all the wide receivers, right? And now, and we know they've got tight ends, right? Which they've got Ebron and Doyle and Mo Alley Cox, and we'll talk about all them in a second. So the concerns are how talented they are as an offense as a whole. So again, I have him as a low end RB2. He's going to have some big numbers. But there are some concerns here. The one thing that I will say is I remember talking to both Frank Reich and Chris Ballard at the combine this year. And I asked them, you know, do you think, Marlon Mack can be a true workhorse for you? Or do you think he's just, you know, kind of a lead back in a committee? And both of those guys said, no, we think Marlon Mack can be the guy. We have other guys that we like as well, but we think Marlon can be that guy. And certainly their actions in the offseason have supported that. They didn't draft a running back this year, you know, in a significant way. The signings they've made, Spencer Ware, Deontay Foreman, none of them really concern you in terms of, you know, those are all, they've made depth signings. They haven't made like a splashy, like they didn't go out and get Le'Veon Bell, which was, they were one of the rumored destinations for Le'Veon Bell.
They also backed it up a little bit last year. He had 25 or more carries in 3 separate games last season, which was tied for the NFL lead. They definitely like Marlon Mack a lot. The limiting factor, as you said, is the pass catching ability, and also 10 touchdowns last year. I know that that's the expectation for good running backs, but like that is a difficult number to achieve year over year. I like Marlon Mack a lot more as a player this year than I did last year, and I give him credit for proving me wrong.
100%.
But part of the reason why he doesn't have a lot going on in the passing game is they've got an outstanding pass catching back they found last year in the draft in Nyheim Hines.
Yep.
Who had nearly 150 total touches, 63 of them being catches last season. Now I know, Matthew, as you mentioned, Marlon Mack was banged up for 4 games last year, but I've got Nyheim Hines, running back 41, which is where he's being drafted in terms of ADP. You've got him lower at 57. Are you concerned that there's going to be some sort of phasing out of Nyheim Hines because of other players? Is there anything that, like, what's the red flag if you have one for Nyheim Hines?
I just don't think there's a lot of upside to Nyheim Hines.
And that's,
you know what I mean? Like, I think he's, to give a fantasy comparison, he's Theo Riddick.
I was going to say Mohamed Sanu is what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, like, right, exactly. Like, there's a floor there. But in terms of when you're getting into running back 40, right, running back 41, for me, like, I rank just sort of by my draft strategy. And I'm not taking a Nyheim Hines, who's a perfectly fine player, both NFL-wise and fantasy-wise. But I'm swinging for the fences there, you know, and I talked about this in my manifesto where I want range of outcomes. There's a very rare range of outcome where Nyheim Hines in any way, shape, or form is like a top 10 running back. And you think about some of the other guys that are going around where Nyheim Hines is going, right? And so, like, I'm just looking at some of these guys. Like, so He's going one pick below Daryl Henderson. He's going two pick, like the same round, in the same round that that he's being drafted. Latavius Murray, Jordan Howard, Daryl Henderson, Peyton Barber. Like, Peyton, you know, if Peyton Barber becomes the lead.
I think Barber's kind of like what Nyheim Hines is. I think he is sort of more similar.
But, you know, Matt Breed, but Daryl Henderson, we think, like, if anything happens to Kamara, Latavius Murray is a top five fantasy running back. You know, and then Jordan Howard, like, again, everyone likes Miles Sanders, but Jordan Howard scored 9 touchdowns each of the last 2 years, and that's going to be a running back by committee. So there's just guys like Rashad Penny is going, like, I don't know, like 7 picks ahead of him or something like that, one round ahead of him. Like, Rashad Penny, again, something happens to Carson, Rashad Penny's a top 10 fantasy running back there. So yeah, for me, he's going ahead of Kalen Ballage, my boy Kalen Ballage. He's going, I don't know, so that's why.
So if people ask me, like, you know, why did you say chase the upside of Paris Campbell, but in this case, you're more comfortable with Nyheim Hines?
Yes, sir.
My point would simply be that, like, for there's less depth at running backs. The number of wide receivers that have present more upside, in my opinion, is greater. So you can chase that upside more versus running backs. That's my own personal strategy.
Interesting.
Especially in PPR. I think there are more wide receivers that have like top 25 upside that's like truly viable versus running backs, where I think of them are injuries away, whereas a lot of wide receivers are not injuries away.
That I 100% agree with, but it's also a sort of a double-edged sword, right? Because there's more wide receivers, but there's so much more depth, right? I mean, like at the wide receiver position. So you're choosing among, yes, a lot of these players have that sort of upside, but you know, there's less likely odds that they get there because there's so many more wide receivers and there's only 25 spots to be a top 25 wide receiver.
It's an interesting backfield. That much is for sure. It's also an interesting tight end group, Matthew, because Eric Ebron broke the fantasy scale. Eric Ebron literally set Mike Clay's computer on fire last year. Mike Clay, who pounds the pavement with his projections every single week and tells you who is most likely to regress one way or the other. Eric Ebron last year kept breaking the model. 66 catches, 750 yards, 14 total touchdowns. He was tight end four. There may not be a player, Matthew, that more people forecast for a regression this year in fantasy than Eric Ebron. Can he prove them wrong?
Sure. Could he? If he's on the field in the cold,
will he prove them wrong? How about that?
I don't believe so.
There we go.
I don't believe he will. I mean, I have him as a tight end 12. He made my hate list this year. Understand that he scored more red zone touchdowns last season. He scored 10 red zone touchdowns last year on just 18 targets than he has for his entire career prior to that.
Right.
He'd scored 9 on 30 such targets over the course of his career last year, 10 on 18 targets. Okay. Among players with at least 10 red zone targets last season, Eric Ebron averaged 4.5 points per red zone target. Only Davante Adams were better. All due respect, Eric Ebron is not Davante Adams.
So let's further this. There are a lot of stats that just don't seem likely to sustain year over year. Also, Jack Doyle gets hurt, misses a lot of time last year.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton, the only established number one wide receiver, the only established wide receiver really in Indy's offense whatsoever. They signed Dontrell Inman off the street at one point. There are a variety of players that were brought aboard. The target share for Eric Ebron seems likely to regress. He's a drop-dependent player. He led the NFL, tied the NFL lead with 6 drops. It's just, you know, it's numbers, right? This is just simple math.
And then you think about weeks 8 through 12 last year. Jack Doyle, 17 catches. Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle played together weeks 8 through 12 last year, right? In those weeks, Doyle, 17 catches, Ebron, 11 catches. Doyle, 18 targets, Ebron, 13 targets. Doyle, 165 yards, Ebron, 151 yards.
That's it.
And I mean, that's it. Now, also, Ebron, 5 touchdowns, Doyle, 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, but basically, that's what you're banking on with Eric Ebron is you're banking on touchdowns, and I would argue that with the addition of Devin Funchess, with Paris Campbell, with Marlon Mack more established, with Mo Alley Cox getting more run, and we'll talk about him in a second, there's just a lot more competition for those cheap red zone touchdowns than there were last year when Eric Ebron crushed, not to mention a healthy Jack Doyle.
You still believe Jack Doyle is a pretty draftable commodity. You've got him ranked one slot ahead of Eric Ebron. I've got him behind Eric Ebron. I think maybe what you're saying is that you buy into what we just heard weeks 8 to 12 as being the more likely way that this tight end group shakes out.
Yeah, I think touchdowns are fluky on some level. Like it's tough to, again, Eric Ebron out of nowhere catches double digits last year. So I think touchdowns are harder to predict, but usage is not. And so in terms of a guy that moves the chain, in terms of a guy that, you know, gets receptions, I believe Doyle is going to get more targets, run more routes, get more receptions than Eric Ebron. So the only pro argument for Ebron over Doyle to me is the scoring. And again, like I said, I think the scoring comes down not only because of just natural regression to the mean, but also just because there's a lot more targets there in Indianapolis. And also, don't forget about Mo Alie-Cox, 6'4", 262. This is a guy that they like a lot, who by all accounts is having a great preseason as well. A reminder, Field, Eric Ebron's a free agent this year.
After this season, yep, will be interesting to see if the Colts look to extend him. I'm a little bit less excited about Mo Alie-Cox. We heard this last offseason, gets cut at some point. Like, I think that maybe the hype has surpassed the actual ability there for Mo Alie-Cox, but an interesting flyer if something happens to either Doyle or Eric Ebron.
I like him in a keeper league, in a dynasty league, much more interesting to me than a redraft option this year. The only way you're drafting him in a redraft option is if it's like, so he was like literally my last pick in the Scott Fish Bowl, right? Which is an insanely deep,
22 round league?
22 round league, something like that. 24 rounds, something like that. So a 12 team league with 24 rounds, where there's, you know, so I wanted to bring him up just as a name to keep in mind if you're in a deeper league, a keeper league, but also, by the way, as somebody that could sap some of the value from Eric Ebron in those red zone sets.
Take a quick break and come back and talk about the Tennessee Titans.
Tighten up!
Tennessee, you're in the 06010.
Hey, Field, let me just clean up one stat real quick, because I did it off the top of my head, and I now have the correct stat. Last season, 24.7% of the Colts' pass attempts came with two tight ends or more on the field. That was the eighth highest rate in the NFL. So just, I had mentioned that, you know, but I just wanted to clean up that stat a little bit right there. But in essence, that's a stat that tells you what you know instinctively when watching the Colts. They are they're a team that runs a lot of two tight end sets.
Very tight end heavy. Let's talk about the Titans, and we can make it quick on Marcus Mariota. You have him ranked 29th amongst quarterbacks. He's being drafted in just 5% of leagues.
Like, you didn't even bother ranking him.
Didn't bother ranking him, Matthew. You've been spurned by him plenty of times in the past. He is
brutal.
Tantalizing. I will just say this. There are certain times that you are willing to concede defeat. If Marcus Mariota's light bulb switch is flipped this year and he becomes the dynamic player that we saw at Oregon and maybe in small doses previously, I'll wear it, man. I've been waiting. Rarely does a quarterback enter the final year of his contract without substantial talks towards a new deal. Feels like we're there with Marcus Mariota. Tells you everything you need to know. But yeah, where he does matter,
it just hasn't worked out. I mean, by the way, has yet to play all 16 games in regular season.
But where it does matter, Matthew, is what it means for the players that are catching passes for him. Corey Davis, I've got him at wide receiver 33, and you've got him at wide receiver 45. I will say this. The reason why I have Corey Davis much higher than you is because the target share.
Sure.
Last year, target share was 25.9%. That was 10th best in the NFL. Every player ahead of him was either a top 20 wide receiver, actually a top 18 wide receiver, plus the top three tight ends. Usually when the ball is thrown your way, fantasy success follows. So I'm already discounting Corey Davis because of Marcus Mariota. But you're just a little bit less, Mariota stinks.
Of course. It's two things. First off, so target share only works if you can complete a pass.
Okay.
Even with that massive target share, Field, that you just mentioned, three games last year with 14.5 fantasy points. I mean, like, just three games last year where he had over 14.5 fantasy points. Like, he wasn't a great fantasy wide receiver last year. He was wide receiver 39 on a per game basis last year. So you're talking about basically barely a top 40 wide receiver with an insane target share. And now you add Adam Humphries. You draft A.J. Brown. Delanie Walker is back. Remember, Delanie Walker missed all the year last year. So in a year in which Corey Davis was the only guy in town, he was barely a top 40 wide receiver. You've added a lot more weapons. And oh, by the way, Derrick Henry emerges towards the end of last year, and the team so far this offseason has continued to say this will be a run-heavy offense that will be focused around Derrick Henry. So
I
that
think
is
the
why.
Additions actually help Corey Davis. I think this is one of those classic cases of where the allocation of defensive resources was skewed heavily enough to Corey Davis last year that, like, that accounts for part of the reason why he was, you know, his quarterback was so inconsistent throwing him the football. I think that the looks, in theory, should be more attainable for Marcus Mariota this year to find Corey Davis. I'm just banking. I've seen the talent too.
He's unbelievable. You and I agree on the talent. I think he's a really talented player.
He's my fantasy vice too. Do you remember last year? Like
free Corey Davis, by the way. Can we get Corey Davis on another team?
I don't know. Like, I can't tell you I spent like a lot of time ranking my own top cornerbacks from last season, but I think in a lot of people's eyes, the best cornerback in football last year was Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, sure.
Corey Davis lit him up.
Yeah, he did.
After lighting him up in the playoffs the year before.
Yeah.
Corey Davis, remember that game? The Titans just absolutely Patriots the woodshed. Like, I remember moments like that for players in fantasy football. If it's a vice, I'm okay with it.
You and I are completely on the same page about his talent. My concern is the scheme and the quarterback throwing him the ball. Remember last year, since 2017, Titans 23rd in red zone drives, they're 30th in red zone passes. It's been a bad offense for a long time, and there's not a lot that gives me confidence saying, like, this is going to be a much better passing offense this year.
I don't know if following the money is always the best thing to do in fantasy football, and I don't know that the word sleeper is somebody that I love anymore in fantasy football because of how incredibly knowledgeable the fans are, and I think our listeners are certainly top of that list. But something about that Adam Humphries 4-year contract worth, I think, $38 million this offseason raised my eyebrows a little bit. That was a player that they heavily targeted, a guy that was buried, not necessarily buried in terms of workload, but buried in terms of notoriety in Tampa Bay because DeSean Jackson, of course, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, like there were so many good players down there that we maybe forget just how talented Adam Humphries is. Productive out of the slot. Last year, even that crowded offense, he had a 17% target share for Tampa Bay. So, like, he was being used enough to generate some heat. I think Adam Humphries would be, so if there was another Titans wide receiver that I consider rostering, it's certainly Humphries. I wonder if he could be a sneaky PPR, like, could become a staple pretty quickly in there.
So,
in the offense.
I think this is very similar sort of the Nyheim Hines conversation. So, you have him at wide receiver 41, I have him at wide receiver 67, and I think he's got a much better chance when the dust settles.
Yep.
That he is wide receiver 41-ish, that he's right there in that range. I think you will be much, in terms of where he finishes in terms of total fantasy points this year, I think you will be much closer than my rank. I think I will miss significantly. This is why, by the way, but hang on though. This is a kind of a theory thing. And this is why I think, by the way, when you see some of these things about in terms of accuracy ranks or whatever, that's a bunch of baloney because what
ridiculous.
They don't, right. My point is that, like, I think you will, like, be much more accurate on Adam Humphries than I will be. But, like, again, I think Adam Humphries has just a high floor, but not a high ceiling. Like, again, he's a slot guy. He's not going to score a ton of touchdowns. He's a guy that'll get you 8 to 12 points a week. Completely fine.
Right?
Mohamed Sanu. Like, but it's just like, I would much rather, in terms of where he's going in ADP, I would much rather take a flyer on somebody that if things break right, he could be something significant. So, Adam Humphries, where's he going in terms of his, he's not even being drafted. He's where you have him at wide receiver 41, just here, the current wide receiver 41 on ESPN is Curtis Samuel. Give me Curtis Samuel all day, every day, right? Like, Dante Pettis is wide receiver 40. Michael Gallup is wide receiver 43. Cortland Sutton is wide receiver 42. Like, all those guys to me have much more upside. They also have more downside, but they have more upside than Adam Humphries. So that's, it just goes to a sort of a drafting philosophy, and that's sort of how I rank, is sort of like how I would draft a team.
Fair enough. I just like Adam Humphries more. Maybe
talented player. Again,
I'm following the money too hard there, but I think he's a really talented player that could turn some heads this year in Tennessee. Let's take a quick break and come back and discuss the running backs because there's a healthy conversation to be had there. But first, Matthew, tell us about SeatGeek.
I'll just very quickly say A.J. Brown, we like A.J. Brown talent-wise. Again, this
second-round pick out of Ole Miss, yeah.
He was my favorite receiver coming out of college last year. He goes to Tennessee where run-heavy offense with a bad quarterback.
It's just hard to find, yeah. Three wide receivers in that offense feels unlikely to produce fantasy goodness week to week.
Yeah. He's a dynasty league pick at the moment, nothing more. All right, yeah, let's talk about SeatGeek.
Let's do it. My friends
at SeatGeek, I've used SeatGeek. I like SeatGeek. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if they do it on purpose, but they certainly make it.
That's how it feels.
It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience.
Ridiculous.
So what if their site's annoying and doesn't have the events you want? Hello, status quo. Literally says that. Hello, status quo.
Hello.
The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared? With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. You search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? First off, it's a better process, right? SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. They're searching for you. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10, so you don't have to go searching. Finally, SeatGeek displays them all on an interactive seat map. I will say this, because like I said, I've legit used SeatGeek. That interactive map is awesome because it basically shows you any stadium you're going to or arena or wherever it is. And they're like, and this is what your seat will look like. Like this is the view from that seat. And it's actually, it's very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Cause you sit there and you're like, I don't know. What's the loge? What's loge 134? Is that a good seat? Is that a bad seat?
Loge. I thought it was, for a while, I thought it was log.
I think it's loge. Like,
No. I'm saying when I was young. Right. Or younger.
Fair.
Loge.
Right. I don't know. Is the mezzanine better than the loge, or is the loge better than the mezzanine?
Not
Who knows?
A clue. No clue there.
No idea. Anyway, SeatGeek's interactive seat mat really helps with that. They break down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. Every purchase, and this is one of the other great things, fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets with confidence, because you never know, you know, are you going to get scammed, or you know, you're buying a ticket, then it's not there and everything like that. Again, every purchase fully guaranteed. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Please use our promo code because it helps support the show. Download your SeatGeek app today and use the promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase. Once again, promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase over there at SeatGeek.
Let's go ahead and break down these running backs in Tennessee, Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis. We begin with Derrick Henry. Matthew, this is a player that I'm just going to say, if you had to ask me, a player going in the top three rounds right now, which I imagine is where Derrick Henry is going because he's got an ADP amongst running backs of 16 that I'm least comfortable drafting. This is my pick, Derrick Henry, and I loved what he did last year, and it was awesome to see. He's a fringe fourth-round pick, by the way, as Kyle tells me right now. It was amazing to see how well he played during the last season.
Yeah.
I mean, he won a ton of people championships, and yet...
Including Seth Markman. Shout out to our
in the War Room League.
Shout out to our boss Seth Markman.
I would just say this though. It makes me nervous. He had the incredible stretch, but he has basically zero passing game value. 15 catches last season.
Correct.
It was not lucky last year, Matthew, but things went in Tennessee's favor. They were able to play the game on schedule in the way that they needed to play for Derrick Henry to be featured. It took a long time to get to the Derrick Henry apex. I'm worried about it not being able to sustain year over year. How crazy am I?
You're not crazy at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen. You have him at running back 25. I have him at running back 25.
You're so smart.
I know. Samesies.
Wow.
Look, he's going as running back 16.
For that.
Look, my love hate list came out last week. He was on the hate list, full on the hate list here. And again, it's not about the player. It's about the ADP. I hate the ADP of running back 16.
Yep.
Again, I always talk about this in the manifesto. What's most likely to happen during that week 14 to 17 explosion, right? That 4 week stretch. Well, he averaged 146 rushing yards per game. I want to say it was over like 6 yards per carry, something like that. Anyway, but like prior to that explosion.
Okay.
3.29 yards per carry.
Right.
In the 16 games prior to that.
Sure.
Like, I mean, it's just, what's most likely to happen? Oh, 6.72 yards per carry.
Insane.
Kyle, helps me out. So he averaged over 6.7 yards per carry for his career. Prior to that, I think he'd averaged something like about 4 yards a carry, just slightly under. So what's more likely to happen? What he did during those four games or what he's done the entirety of his career. Since 2017, Titans are a bottom 10 offense in red zone drives, points per game, number of offensive snaps with a lead or touchdown or more, right? This has just not been a great, very dynamic offense. And with Marcus Mariota under center, we don't expect that to change. Titans play 9 games this season against a top 10 scoring offense from 2018. Don't put a lot of stock into schedules that I do, but the reason I bring that up is we know Houston's good. We expect the Colts to be good.
Defensively, yeah.
We expect the Jags to at least be better.
They're going to be awesome on defense.
Yeah. So,
and I know that he ripped them last year. I know that was a 4 touchdown game.
Yes. That was the Jaguars. Crazy Thursday Thursday night game.
They were in Cabo at that point of the season.
Correct. They had sort of phoned in the season. And the reason I bring that up is that Derrick Henry, in losses last year, averaged 7 fantasy points a game. I mean, because to your point, there's no passing game usage.
Zero passing game
usage. Yep. Like, it's going to be Deion Lewis when they're down or they're trailing. So, like, they need to be ahead and and winning to just sort of pound it. Derrick Henry is a guy that needs 20, 25 touches a game to wear down a defense and be that guy. And the only way you can do that is when you are close or winning a game. And I don't know, two first names, always a crowd pleaser, but yes, officially on the hate list. Just not a guy that I'm going to have a lot of shares of this year.
Talk about how value can change from one year to the next. Deion Lewis really cratered in the second half of last season. He felt like the king of five catches for 32 yards with six carries for 14 yards at the end of last season. You know what I mean? So little upside, because the only way that Deion Lewis carries a ton of upside here, Matthew, is if he steals away all of the red zone work that Derrick Henry got last year. And by the way, Derrick Henry accounted for 70.7 of his team's rushing red zone yards. That was the best in the NFL.
Yep.
Derrick Henry is going to be the guy that finishes for this Tennessee Titans offense. Limited upside here for Deion Lewis. Nothing more, I think, right now in our eyes going into the season as a player that deserves to be drafted as a, you know, deeper league flex play. But no. Delanie Walker is really interesting.
Yep.
Delanie Walker comes back, back after a nasty ankle injury last year. One of the most steady, reliable, consistent players in the NFL. Hated to see that injury, Matthew. I've got him at tight end 12. You've got him at tight end 10. His ADP is sandwiched right between us at tight end 11. Love to see Delanie Walker back in the mix for Tennessee.
Well, it's just the reason he's going so low, and he's actually been rising up. I was seeing, you know, I remember a couple of weeks ago, he was going as wide tight end like 14, 15, 16, something like that.
Sure.
Really, really late here. But listen, 35 years old, coming off of a major injury. There's concerns there. And again, we don't think much of the quarterback or the passing game offense. Having said that, even in this passing game offense that we don't love and this quarterback that's been inconsistent, Delanie Walker's been a top eight tight end each of the four seasons prior to being injured last year. And so, I don't know. I think Delanie Walker is like sort of solid. Suffered the injury early, so he had a full year to recover. I've talked to Stefania about him. She feels like, you know, listen, feels like he's going to be back. You know, listen, I'm no Stefania Bell. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but, you know, she felt like, you know, no reason to be concerned. Listen, he is 35. It is what it is. But, I don't know, at least 60 passes each of his first five seasons with the Titans. The only other Titan to do so in all five of those seasons was Jason Witten. Like, you know, a big red zone target there. Yeah, give me some Delanie Walker if you're looking at a late round tight end. If you've sort of punted on the position, he's going, like to your point, he's going as tight end 11, and that is going way late. So, Delanie Walker is going in the 12th round.
Yeah, right now he's being way, not way underdrafted, Matthew, because it's tight ends and tight ends tend to go late, but target share from 2014 to 2017 was 22.4%. Yeah. That led all tight ends in the NFL during that stretch. We're going to take a couple of questions, but first, let's tell you about ZipRecruiter, because hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, but today, hiring can be easy. And you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you can never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5, that's 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter, get a quality candidate to the site within the first day, 24 hours for immediate gratification. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Keith, a couple of questions. I know we got to go here soon. What do you got?
Did you want to do a Krabby promo first? We're going to do a Krabby promo first.
All righty.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all-about-me promo.
Two quick things. Once again, I want to remind you, rotopass.com out there with draft tools, alerts, customized ranks, all sorts of content that you need. It is the best premium fantasy football content out there that you can buy for season long. It includes a subscription to ESPN Plus, which just posted Eric Carabell's Do Not Draft list.
Let's go.
Always fun. So I want to give a shout out to Eric and you know, Football Guys, RotoViz, RotoWire, Roster Watch. It's a Football Outsiders. It's an amazing collection. Promo code CHAPIN gets you 10% off.
10%. Love that promo code.
CHAPIN, CHAPIN. But more importantly, I also want to tell you about, this is kind of cool. I did this deal with StatMuse. StatMuse is a company that, you know how, like, sure. Alexa or Google Assist? You know, like, ask questions. Like, Alexa, tell me this.
Alexa, I play white noise at night to assist go to sleep. I say, Echo, play white noise.
Right, exactly. So now what you can say is like, hey, Matthew Berry, hey, StatMuse. You know, I want to know who to draft. So if you follow at StatMuse on Twitter or any of the social media platforms, you'll find it. StatMuse. But again, like if you have Alexa or you have Google Home Assistant, you can just literally ask me, just say, hey, Matthew Berry, hey, StatMuse, and it will come up and you'll hear my voice and I will tell you who to draft, who not to. You know, any fantasy football question, it's actually a very cool kind of thing. So I'm doing that.
Very cool. StatMuse. I like that. I will check that out for sure. All right, Keith. I jumped the gun earlier. Now, a couple of questions for us. What do you got?
Yeah. Caleb wants to know who has more upside / less risk after their injuries between AJ Green and Emmanuel Sanders.
I still think it's AJ Green. I just think that much more big play potential. And I know that Emmanuel Sanders is the one that's going to be ready to play in week one, and AJ Green will not be, but I think as much as I respect Emmanuel Sanders, respect the heck out of him, AJ Green's in a far different tier of overall ability.
And by the way, before he got hurt last year, AJ Green was just absolutely crushing.
Yep. What else, Keith?
Adam wants to know, for a better keeper in a 16-team league, Damian Williams or Aaron Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that there's no round value implication.
Yeah, it doesn't mention that, so yeah.
I'm going to say Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I mean, that way. It's like if I had to answer this question 100 times, I'd pick Aaron Jones 52 of the times and Damian Williams 48 of the times.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Damian Williams and I actually have him ranked higher just because we're a little concerned about, is it going to be more of a running back by committee in Green Bay? But I think Aaron Jones is the better player.
He's the better player. Damian Williams is the better offense.
Yeah.
What else, Keith?
I got one last one here for you. It's a deeper league question, but Cole Beasley, a sleeper target in deep PPR leagues. That's from John.
No question. Did you guys see? There was a good thread. If you haven't checked out the Buffalo Bills Twitter account, they posted a video of all connections between Josh Allen and Cole Beasley. The question's kind of easy for me to answer when it's like, is he a deep sleeper? Like, a lot of players can be deep sleepers, but yeah, I think there's a little bit of value there. I think he's going to be the best bet to lead them in targets this year.
Maybe. I prefer John Brown for a sleeper from Buffalo, you know, who's also going way late.
Yeah.
I think he's a better fit for Josh Allen's skill set. You know, I mean, and there's other guys that I think I would prefer to Cole Beasley, who's a nice player, but if you're looking for sort of that deep PPR slot guy, like, I actually prefer Trey Quinn, my Washington Redskins. Like Danny Amendola of Daniel's sure, Detroit just, you know, Lions.
Is he a deep sleeper? Yes. I think I'm more optimistic here on Cole Beasley.
There is a deep sleeper column, by the way, coming from Tristan Cockcroft tomorrow, if you want to look for that.
Great.
And you had mentioned Eric Carabell's do not draft list. His do draft list is out today.
Oh, great.
So guys that he likes.
The do draft list is out from Eric Carabell. A reminder.
Is that do not draft list out? I thought that was out as well,
yeah,
right?
Do not came out, and now do draft list
oh, great.
Is out
okay.
today.
Okay, yeah. So
do and do not.
So, yeah, check out Eric's stuff. Always good stuff.
We are headed to New York right now, but a little preview. Tonight's coming. Jets, Giants. Oh, by the way, one more question or one more poll result. Who are you more comfortable with, Andrew Luck or Todd Gurley? 68% of you say Todd Gurley. A lot of bad juju right now floating around the Andrew Luck situation.
That's a little surprising to me.
I thought it'd be a more even split.
I did too. 68% more comfortable with Todd Gurley than Andrew Luck. Just to show you how many people are nervous about then. Daniel's friend Kurt has some duo names for us. Adequate, tolerable, acceptable. Look, honestly, I think we missed the obvious one. What kind of duo are we? Mediocre.
But that is what we are. Can we make that a dual word phrase is the question. New York tonight, Jets, Giants, Mike Clay will be there to give you his perfect draft. Matthew will be there to bring the nonsense. And I'll just be there. Not sure what I'm going to do.
Stefania is there as well, as a secret squirrel. Thirsty Kyle, Not Cool Keith. The whole gang will be there tonight. Can't wait to see you in New York. And then we will be back live in studio for the live show on Thursday. So
cannot wait.
For those of you who can't make it to New York, there will be an audio podcast tomorrow. So until then, for Field, Tarika, thank you so much. Thirsty Kyle and Keith, I'm Matthew. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dodd.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.